cold, cold night. You're here. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Isn't it a comfort to know everything that we said tonight, the Lord heard? Amazing praises from some of you of what the Lord has done, how He's answered prayers. Wonderful to hear that, Dave. I'm excited to meet Jennifer and get to marry you. So I'll get to marry you, and that'll be a new experience for me and a joy for me as well. But, man, just a reminder of those songs. That if there's one thing in your life that needs to be changed, if there's something in your life that needs to be changed, it only comes from the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. The beautiful star of Bethlehem. He's the light of the world. And why is Christmas so important to remember? It's not the Santa Claus and the sleigh and the snow and all those things. What's the most important is the reason for the season. Amen. And who is that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. The one who changes lives. Who came and died on the cross. Why? To change your life. How do you do it? What do you do it for? So that you can have a relationship with God in heaven. Isn't that not a wonderful thing to remember every day of your life? Every single day of your life. See, I talked on Sunday. I talked about what it means to be a godly leader. How do you be a godly leader? Well, this will be the second part of Nehemiah. So we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We're going to talk about how do you lead through opposition in your life. See, God has called us to lead. And I would love to say that when God calls you to lead, it's going to be easy. It's going to be rainbows and sunshine. You can skip through the yellow brick road. It's going to be wonderful and great. But let me tell you, when you lead through a godly vision, when God calls you to something, it's not always going to be easy. I wish I could say that, but it's not. It's going to be difficult. Why? Well, 2 Timothy 3:12 says this. Listen to it closely, church. It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. I know that's not the most comforting thing you can hear, but let it at least comfort you to know that God knows that it's not going to be easy in your life to lead a godly life. To lead through opposition in your life. And Satan will try to do whatever it takes to get you off the path of obedience in your life. To make you stumble. Sometimes, and I hate to say it, sometimes he succeeds. Sometimes Satan succeeds with getting a Christian off the path that God has for him. Why? Because we allow Satan to get a foothold in our life. And when we give up and we turn around and we don't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, we don't lead how God wants us to lead because opposition comes into our life, struggles comes into our life, problems and sin, they begin to slow us down. And I'll ask you tonight, are you giving up on your responsibility to lead because of something in your life? This is what we're going to talk about tonight with Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4. Maybe Nehemiah thought that this work was going to be easy, but it's not going to be easy. See, we saw Nehemiah take a huge step in doing what God called him to do. What was that? Was to build a wall. His calling was to build a wall around Jerusalem. And he went out, he prayed, his heart broke for the broken wall. And he goes out and he looks at all the rubble and he's probably like, wow, that's a lot. There's a lot going on. The task is going to be, it's going to be big. It's going to be difficult. But now we're going to see how Nehemiah is going to lead the people through the opposition that's going to come before him during the while they build this wall. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 1 says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, says, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down the wall of the stone. See, here we see a man named Sanballat, and he doesn't like what the Jews are doing. He doesn't like that the wall is being built. And how do we lead through opposition? Is we have to know, number one, is that it's not going to be easy. See, this, it's kind of funny. I picture it like this. I picture you just, you know, you're at the, just two teenagers are at the lunchroom table, and you have Sanballat there, and you have Tobiah, you know, so-and-so is doing over there. Can you believe that so-and-so is doing that over there? It kind of seems childish. Tobiah speaks up and he's like, shh, even a fox could knock that down. Right? Even a fox could knock that down. And let me tell you, church, when you begin to follow the Lord, Satan hates it. When you begin to do what the Lord wants you to in your life, God, or Satan, hates it. He's going to do whatever it takes to knock it down. He's going to do whatever it takes to stop you from doing what God calls you to in your life. He's going to try to stop you at every stop. And a lot of times it's going to start like this. What do? They begin to mock and they begin to make fun of them. They begin to laugh at even the thought that they would attempt to do this impossible thing. You really think you can build the wall? He says, do you think you can bring the stones back to life? Well, let me tell you, with the Lord, you can bring the stones back to life in your life. Amen, church? Amen? With the Lord, you can do the impossible. You can bring those stones back to life. And Nehemiah understood that. Nehemiah knew that with the Lord that they were going to be able to build this wall back up. And not everyone's going to like it. When you start doing what God calls you to in your life, not everyone's going to like it. I'd love to say, but people are going to get jealous of you. They're not going to like it. And here we see that with Sanballat and Tobiah and other associates and the people that they were around. Satan will begin to use people in your life to mock you, to discourage you, to distract you, to make you waver. And people's done it here. People's done it here at New Life, in the ministries. How many people have said, you really think you're going to be able to do all that? Though you're so small, why even try? Satan would love to distract us. He would love to get us off track. He would love to throw obstacles in here so that we would think about giving up. And maybe he's done that in your life. I want you to think about that. Like I said on Sunday, you're supposed to be godly leaders. You're supposed to lead. Every one of us is a leader somewhere in our life. Are there times where you've failed? Are there times where you didn't lead like you were supposed to because Satan just kept attacking you and attacking you and attacking you and it seemed like nobody was on my side? And listen to me, church, I love to tell you that that always comes from the outside, but sometimes it comes from right in the inside. Sometimes it's your own family. Are you really going to do that Christian thing? Why do you give your money to the church? Are you gonna really volunteer at the meal ministry? That's a waste of time. Those people don't need it. Why put all your effort into coming to church? Sometimes that comes from the closest people in your life. Sometimes it comes from the closest people in our life. In church, what I find so amazing is actually Sanballat says something I think is true. What's he say? He says in verse 2, in the presence of his associate in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? The Jews were feeble. They were weak. They weren't strong. They didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the walls. Everything was really against them. Everything was really against them. 1 Corinthians 1:20. 6 and 29 say this. I think it's so wonderful and amazing. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Listen to me, church. Maybe you're thinking, wait, did he just call me weak? I did just call you weak, because we're all weak. We're all weak without Jesus. We're all weak. We're all feeble. And the Jews were feeble. But Nehemiah understood that, yeah, we may be weak, but our Lord's not weak. We may be feeble, but God's not feeble. Amen. And God would choose you. Why? So the 1 Corinthians says, so no man can boast. All the glory goes to God. And that's what is amazing here, to serve here at New Life and New Life Ministry. Because I can't say, look at what we did, because we're weak and we're feeble. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do the ministries without them, because we were weak and feeble. And let me tell you, we didn't grow anymore. We're still weak and feeble. We're still weak and feeble. Wear that as a badge of honor, because you'll trust the Lord more. Wear it as a badge of honor because you'll trust the Lord more. You'll humble yourself and you'll allow the Lord to actually lead your life so that you can help lead other people's lives. Even through the opposition, even through the complaining, even through the mocks, even through all those things, all those things. Verse 4, it says, says, hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we built the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Here, what do we see is Nehemiah does something that really we don't do. We make a mistake. A lot of times, what do? We retaliate. We say, we try to debate. We try to argue because we don't like what the people are saying. But Nehemiah doesn't do that. What does he do? He prays to the Lord, right? He calls out to the Lord. He says, hear us, our God, for we are despised. These people are coming against us. And sometimes we got to call out to the Lord. And I know it may be tough, but sometimes we got to say, Lord, I need you to get them out of here. They're causing issues. They're causing issues to your ministry. They're causing issues to your work. Lord, they're just causing issues. And if you want to lead through opposition, you've got to pray. Church, you've got to pray and you've got to keep praying. Because listen, again, I'll say, we're feeble and we're weak. We need the Lord's strength. We need his help. And we just need those things. Nehemiah doesn't retaliate. He doesn't debate. What's he say? He basically tells the Lord, you've got to deal with them. You've got to deal with them. You have got to deal with them. See, Satan would love for you to retaliate. And this is where we slip up a lot, church. He would love for you to retaliate. He would love for you to seek revenge. Why? Because it distracts us. It slows us down. It takes our eyes off of Jesus. It takes our eyes off the vision. It stops us from doing what the Lord wants us to do, because you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to convince them any different. But the Lord can. See, maybe this prayer seems tough to you. It's a pretty tough prayer. And you see this throughout the Old Testament quite a bit. Even David prays like this sometimes against his enemies. In church, this is not a prayer to encourage you to pray curses on people. Why? Because Jesus does kind of give us a different idea in the New Testament. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's pretty tough to do. Can you imagine people mocking you, people coming after you, people just saying, wow, you're just weak. You're not going to be able to do it. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. See, this prayer isn't meant for you to pray curses. It's meant to you to give it to the Lord. This is exactly what Nehemiah is doing. He's not saying, I'm gonna wipe them out. I'm going to take them out. He's saying, Lord, you've got to take care of them, because I'm not going to be able to take care of them. You have to know that God's the judge. Church, you have to know that God is the judge when it comes to people like this. And church, I pray that this is a warning for us tonight. You've got to be careful how you speak about the things of God. Now listen to me close, church. You've got to be careful how you speak about what God is doing. It can be very tempting to complain. It can be very tempting to start to question things and start to be like, well, man, why are we even doing this? Isn't this just a lost cause? Why is so-and-so leading that way? Satan would love for you to start doing that. Satan would love for you to start talking negatively about the things of God. In church, I pray that this is a warning for us tonight. That you're not fighting the church when you do that. You're not. You're not fighting ministry when you do that. You're fighting the Lord. And I think it's so interesting that when Saul was persecuting the church, he was persecuting the believers, and Jesus meets him on the Damascus Road. What's he say to Paul or Saul? He says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? Think about that. Anytime you're going to speak negatively about things, gossip and slander. Now, if there's a real issue, of course we got to talk about it. But I don't think sometimes we do that. I think sometimes we like to complain. We like to go against the grain. Sometimes I think we do. But I think we see something amazing. In verse 6 it says, "So we built the wall till it all reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Even in the face of all the persecution, even in the face of all the mocking, the people still worked with all their heart. Amen, church? And this is what we have to do in the vision God has called us to. This is what you got to do in your life, is you've got to work with all your heart. You've got to work with all your heart. Why would you do that? Because gratitude that God would call you, God would commission you to lead such an amazing thing that God would call you to. We've got to have people that works with all their heart. Amen? Amen. Verse 7, it says, "But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry and they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." What is happening here? See, now we're moving past mocking. Now we're moving past making fun of. And now the threat is really coming. Now there's threats. We've moved to threats. What's the threat? Is that we're going to come and we're going to take them out. We're going to plot against them. We're going to take them out so they can't build the wall. And what does that look like in the church? What's that really look like? It's when you don't like something, the way things are going, and you say, "Well, I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to leave. I'm going to pick things up. I'm not going to give to you no more. If this person's leaving, if we change the carpet in here, I'm done. I'm gone." Those are threats. Now, it is what it is. But they are threats. People will try to control the things you do with threats. Maybe you want to do something for God. And they're like, maybe it's mom and dad. And they say, "Well, if you go and you do that Christian thing, then you got to go." Do you know that actually happens? Some of us would think that that's wild. Well, it is wild. But that literally happens. And you got a choice then, right? You can either let those threats fuel your life, live in fear, or go where God calls you to go. And what I find really amazing about all this, church, really, really amazing, is that, what does it say? It says in verse 10, "But we prayed to our God." They prayed again. Church, I'll say it again. You got to keep praying. And when the opposition is coming after you, when you just feel like you keep getting attacked, you've got to keep praying. Amen? Amen. See, Satan will try to use fear to get you off course. He'll try to use fear to get you to forget that the Lord is there to help you. Many of us know it. What? That the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. See, these three things are essential, church. Essential. Why? Because you're not stronger than the devil. You're not. By yourself, you're not stronger than the devil. But you know who is? The power of God. What does God give us? Power. Do you know what's, I think, see, Satan instills fear in our life, but do you know what the Word of God says? Perfect love cast out all fear. Why does God give us love? Because it cast out all fear. Amen, church? And then he gives us a sound mind. I'm struggling. A sound mind. Why? Because Satan is the father of deception and lies and deceit and confusion. Why do you need a sound mind? Because your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking you to be devoured. I hope you've got to know that, church. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober mind, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The devil's not going to quit attacking you. He's not going to quit attacking you. How do you lead through opposition? Is you got to be watchful. This is what the people do. What's it say in verse 9? It says, "But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat." You know, I think we get attacked and those arrows keep hitting us. And we keep struggling. Why? Because we're not really being watchful. We're not really watching what's going on. We're not watching for the devil to be attacking us. You always have to be watchful, church. Satan is looking to destroy you. Don't let him. Satan is looking to destroy you in your life. Don't let him. And maybe you're asking, well, how long do I need to be watchful? What does it say? Day and night. You've got to be watchful day and night. Amen? Amen. You've got to be watchful day and night. And this is where it's going to get a little bit tougher. Verse 10, it says, meanwhile, the people of Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be there among them, and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, whenever you turn, they will attack us. What's going on here is we're seeing that the people are starting to get tired. They're starting to get discouraged. And let me tell you, ministries, you get tiring. When you start to do the things of God, you start to get tired. You start to get discouraged. You start to feel overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed before? There's so much going on. I don't have enough time to do everything I need to do. The rubble's too much. Everything is in utter destruction. I know I'm supposed to keep building, but it's too tough. It's too hard. And that's what the people are doing. That's what the people are doing. Is they're saying it's getting too hard, and they even so much as, and we can't build the wall. We can't rebuild the wall. They're getting tired. And maybe you've thought, is it even worth it? Is it even worth building anymore? Is it even worth building? See, in ministry, I want you to listen closely, because this is, since I've been here at New Life and working in the ministry, I've noticed something. Anytime we've started another ministry, there's always three pivotal moments. Simple. The first one is the start. When you start, why is that a pivotal moment? Because you got to decide if you're actually going to go. You have a choice. It's pivotal. You either go or you don't go. Every time we've started, do we move or do we not? Do we got the funds to go? Do we not have the funds to go? Are we sure we want to go? And the second one is right in the middle. And that's exactly where the people are. It says that they've built halfway up. They've got the wall halfway up. Why is the middle such a pivotal moment? It's because, man, you're tired. And the people are getting tired. And let me tell you, church, I don't even think we're at the middle. I don't. I don't think we're even at the middle where God is pushing us, church. And I don't think for most of us, some of us may be getting there. Right, Scott? We may be past the middle. Just kidding. Why is it pivotal? Because you have a decision. Do I turn back? Do I turn back? And then the third one is the end. Why would the end be a pivotal moment? Because things, you're starting to realize, oh wow, this is getting close. And some of us, we begin to get afraid when things start to get closer. We're about to open another house. It's about to get to the end. It gets a little scary. Why am I saying this? Because I've watched it every single time. Every single time we've opened up another ministry. Those three pivotal moments. The start, right in the middle, and at the end. And you all have a choice. Whether or not you're going to keep building. You all have a choice to keep building. Every single one of you do. Every single one of you do. And let me tell you, church. The goal is not to start well. It's never been to start well. Do I want us to start well? Amen. I want us to start well. But what do I want more than anything? I want us to finish well. I do, and I hope and pray that that's what you want in your life. Anything in your life that God calls you to, I hope it could be rocky at the start. It could be rocky in the middle, but pray to the Lord that you finish well. Amen, church? That you finish with all your heart, that you work with all your heart. With all your heart. You've got to work with all your heart. Let's see how Nehemiah leads through all this. Verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." Wow, I think that's so amazing. I think it's so amazing. But why? Because Nehemiah was not just a man of prayer. He was that, but he was a man of action. He didn't just pray and say, "Well, let's see what happens." No, Nehemiah, he got the people and he found the most exposed places of the wall and he put people there. He put people at the most vulnerable spots in the wall. And let me ask you, church, you got vulnerable spots in your wall? I know you do, because we all got weak spots in our wall. And I'm asking you, are you preparing? Are you planning for those vulnerable spots so that when Satan does attack, because he's going to attack those spots in your life, he's going to attack the vulnerable areas of your life, the broken parts of your wall, you got things stationed there, a plan in place so that you can fight, so that you can fight in those moments. Nehemiah secures the weakest part of the walls, the weakest part of the walls, and I hope and I pray we're doing so as well, because Satan knows your weak spots. Don't think he doesn't. Satan knows what tempts you in your life. Don't think he doesn't. You might think it's the smallest thing, the smallest weak point that anybody could ever have, but Satan knows it, and he will try to attack it. He will try to attack your wall. You've got to be ready, amen, church? You've got to be ready for Satan's attacks. You've got to be ready. And what I find amazing is he encourages the people. That's why Nehemiah is such a great leader. Remember what I told you, one of the points was he motivated people to follow the Lord. He encouraged the people to follow the Lord, and he encourages the people three ways. What's he say? He says, "Don't be afraid." Again, I'll say, fear will stop the calling in your life. Fear will derail the ministry in your life. Fear will derail your whole life. If you let Satan sow fear in your life. But Nehemiah encourages him. He says, "Don't be afraid." And then he says something amazing. He says, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome." Is he not those things, church? Is he not great and awesome in your life? And I'll tell you, if you want to lead through opposition in your life, you've got to understand that the Lord is great and that he is awesome and that he is not leading you into battle alone, but he's coming with you. Amen, church. But again, I'll say, if you want to lead through opposition, if you want to lead to the opposition and the struggles in your life, what's he say for the last one? Number four, fight. He says, fight. Fight. Church, did you hear what I said? Fight. Don't just roll over and let the devil win. Don't just roll over and say, I'm just done. I'm too tired. I'm too weak right now. Don't roll over, but rely on the strength of the Lord to what? To fight. To fight with all your heart. Amen, church? To fight with all your heart. If you got struggles and problems in your life, fight. Don't just roll over. Fight. This is what he's telling the people. Fight. And even though this can be applied to all of us, men and women alike, men need to fight, women need to fight, but Nehemiah is appealing to a very specific type of people. Who is he appealing to? He's appealing to men. He's appealing to men. And why am I saying this right now? Is because I want to say something to the men. And I want you to listen to me very closely. Very, very closely. Satan is coming for your family. Don't think he's not. Satan is coming for your family. And you got to start fighting now. You've got to start fighting now. You got wayward children in your life? Mindy, listen to me. If you got wayward children in your life, children that are far from God, you got to start fighting. Children that don't know him, children that don't know Jesus Christ, you've got to start fighting. And listen to me very closely, men. If you got struggles in your marriage, you got problems in your marriage, you've got to keep fighting. You've got to keep fighting for your wife and your children and your home, because Satan would love to tear the family down. He would love to take the family down. Man, you got to start fighting for your family. It's too important. God has blessed you with it. God's blessed you with your children. God's blessed you with your wife. Start fighting for what God has given you. I'm tired of seeing men rolling over. Start fighting. And know that God is fighting it with you. Know that God is fighting it with you. Church, the battle's here. The battle's right here. Start fighting it. The battle's right here. It's time to fight. This is what Nehemiah is encouraging the people. He's saying, I know you want to stop building. I know it's getting difficult. I know we're only halfway. I know it's hard to see the finish line, but keep fighting. The threat is going to be on your doorstep. The problems are going to be there. The struggles are going to be there. They're not going to go away, but you have a choice. You have a choice to fight. We all do. Every single one of us have a choice to fight. In church, I'll ask you, very simple, are you fighting? Are you fighting for what God has given you? Oh, do I pray you're fighting? Verse 15, it says, when our families heard that we were aware of their plot and that God has frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. What is happening here? I think it's really amazing. What is happening is we see the people were ready for battle and they were ready for work. And that should be our posture in the kingdom of God. Amen. Our posture should be, we got a sword in one hand and we got the work in the other hand. Amen. We've got to be ready for battle and we got to be ready for work because there's a lot to fight for and there's a lot to work. There's a lot to do. For the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Amen, church. We've got to be ready for battle and ready for work. Now, I wondered when I was reading this. Remember the threat. The threat's supposed to be. They're supposed to be coming. Why did they never come? Why did the people never fight the Israelites? We have no real evidence that the people came to attack them. Right? In fact, it says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all just returned to doing what we were doing, to our own work. Why do I think that they never attacked? Well, think about this for a minute. You don't like what's going on. You think the Jews are weak. You think they're feeble. No way they're building this wall. Then they get about halfway. Like, well, maybe we need to do something. Then you go up to their doorstep, and everybody's got weapons. Everybody's got a sword in their hand, right? They don't seem as weak anymore. They don't seem as feeble anymore, right? God frustrated their plans. Why? Because they were strong. Why? Because they had Nehemiah to lead the people. They had a good godly leader to lead the people. And let me tell you, not all the time. Satan will sometimes just keep shooting and keep shooting. But if you have the full armor of God on, every piece of the armor of God, you're ready for battle, ready to withstand the fiery arrows of the devil. Sometimes Satan doesn't even attempt to shoot them. Why? Because it's a lost cause. That's where I pray we all are. But I know that's not the case. Because all of us at times have chinks in our armor, and sometimes we're slow to put on our boots and slow to put on our breastplate. But oh wow, do I hope and pray that in your life you're becoming able to put more and more of the armor of God on. Becoming stronger in your life. Why? So you stop falling over and over again to Satan. So you start doing what God has called you to do. So you start doing what God has called you to do. Let's finish this up It says in verse 19, it says, "Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." Wow, Nehemiah was just this amazing, amazing leader. And he really doesn't seem like he had any experience doing any of this. How was he able to do it? He's able to do it by the power of God. He was able to do it by the Spirit of the Lord. But Nehemiah realized something in these two verses. What's he realize? He realized that they're pretty spread out. And the work is so much, that's why they're spread out. There's too much to cover. You ever feel like that in your life, that you just stretch thin? You ever feel like you just stretch thin, like, man, I feel like I got enough. I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm all over the place. Sometimes I felt like that in my life. That makes us weak. It does. It makes us weak when we're so spread thin. But I will tell you, sometimes that's just the way it is. Sometimes the Lord just gives you a lot in your life, and we're spread thin. But here's what's amazing to me is Nehemiah understood that even though they were spread thin, that together they were stronger. This is what he put in place. He said, if I blow the trumpet, let's all get together. If I blow the trumpet, let's get all to that spot so that we can help each other, so that we can be strong together. And if you want to lead through opposition in your life, is number 5, the last point. Listen to it closely. Remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not fighting this battle all by yourself. Nehemiah understood that he wasn't fighting the battle all by himself. They were all fighting the battle. And that's the same for us today at New Life and the ministries and in your life. You're not fighting the battle alone. You got brothers and sisters. And then Nehemiah takes it to a whole nether step. What's he say? He says, God will fight for us. This is how I know you're not alone, because God will fight for you. God will fight for you. You're never alone. Remember that you're not alone in life. Nehemiah understood that God will, what a comfort, amen. What a comfort to know, and what an encouragement. And this should produce the desire to fight. This should produce the desire to work harder, knowing that the Lord fights for us, amen. Church, there's a lot to do here. We need godly leaders, like I told you on Sunday. But we also need leaders that don't quit. Nehemiah needed the same thing. Nehemiah needed godly leaders, and he needed leaders that don't quit. That's what we need here at New Life, and that's what the kingdom of God needs. The kingdom of God needs the children of God to work and fight. To work and fight with all their heart. So what did we cover? How do you lead through opposition? It's number one. You know it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a walk in the park. You have to understand that, or you will fall. And number two is you've got to call out to God. You don't have the wisdom to lead. You don't have the understanding to lead. You're not going to know how to lead unless the Lord teaches you, unless the Lord shows you in your life. Is number three is you've got to be watchful. Satan is looking for those to devour. He's looking to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That's what Satan does. That's all he wants to do to you. You've got to be watchful. And number four is you've got to fight. There's always going to be opposition. So you always have to fight. You always have to be ready to fight. And the last one, like I said, is you've got to remember you're not alone in it. Maybe you do feel like you are alone. At least you can rely on the fact that you know you're not alone with the Lord. Maybe you feel like the ministry is, you're kind of just doing it by yourself. Know that the Lord is there with you. Every single time, the Lord is there with you. And maybe you've given up. We've all done it probably in our life. Things got too hard because X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be. Church, it's time to pick up the sword. And it's time to pick up the plow. Because I said it earlier, the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Church, there's a harvest out there. There's broken people out there. There's lost out there. And I don't want to see us stop. Because then the devil won. I want to see us pick up the sword and pick up the plow and begin to fight the good fight with all of our heart. For the sake of what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that's your heart tonight. Because if it's not, it may be difficult to serve the Lord. And I pray that's what you want. I pray you want to serve the Lord with all your heart. But you're only going to do that on the strength of God. So I'll ask you again, church. Have you given up? Have you stopped fighting? Have you stopped working? Let's stand.